We're going to be looking at the next several weeks. This kind of ties us into our missions conference a little bit today. But we'll be looking at the next several weeks, the healthy body. The body is healthy when, and looking at how we function, how we exist, how we live as a body of believers. We'll be addressing a couple different matters and looking really at our elders, our deacons, our congregation. We'll be looking at spiritual growth and looking at prayer as well. But today we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4, we're actually going to connect in verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 3 as well towards the end. But the body is healthy when the word is preached. The body is healthy when the word is preached. What makes us a healthy church? We have as our mission statement that we want to unconditionally love God and others. That's what our desire is. We want to make sure that we are a body of believers, that we unconditionally love God, and that we unconditionally love each other. And then our vision statement has been that we want to have a healthy church and a blessed community. The health of ourselves, the health of our body will overflow into the community and the life that we live in this community together. And so part of that has been, as we've talked about, our worship, our discipleship, our service. But as we think about what brings health to a church, what brings health to a body, it's God's Word. That's the source of all things. And even as Larry mentioned earlier, the authority of who God is, the authority of Christ, all power, all authority has been given to me. And you then go, therefore, and you are to proclaim Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to be taking a look, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and we'll connect in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3 as well. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin this morning as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. We thank you for your gift to us of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the fact that you sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins so that we may have eternal life. Father, so that we may know and understand your love. Father, we thank you for Christ as well, that we have the opportunity to proclaim him to this world. Father, may you encourage us, may you embolden us. Father, may you give us the words to say as we faithfully proclaim Jesus Christ to those that we come in contact with. Father, I pray that you would encourage our hearts and our minds this morning through your word. Pray that you'd be glorified in all that we do and say. We pray these things in your name. Amen. The body is healthy when the word is preached. There are several passages, several texts throughout Scripture, especially in the Pauline epistles, where Paul communicates this matter of preaching the word of God and preaching the gospel. In fact, in Romans chapter 15, verse 20, Paul says this, "Thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel." Everything that Paul desired to do, everything that Paul was engaged in doing, was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that he came in contact with. So Paul's desire, his ambition, his goal, his motivation in life was to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says this, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Wasn't that Paul discounted or negated baptism, but simply that Christ had sent him to preach the gospel. In fact, I forgot to send the rest of this verse off to Jan, but the rest of it says this, "And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." So as Paul comes and he's talking, he's communicating, what's my passion, what's my vision, what's my goal, and what's my objective? It's to preach Christ. But I don't want to preach Christ in a way that's going to take away from his power and his authority and who he is. I preach Christ not with eloquent words, but just simply sharing who Jesus Christ is. Whenever I think of that verse, I think of Jonathan Edwards, who preached the message, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And Jonathan Edwards was so concerned that he would in any way manipulate or in any way deflect from the greatness and the power and the majesty of Christ that he wrote out the entire message and then he just simply read it in as monotone a voice as he could, because he didn't in any way want to affect the listening opportunity for the people that were there. We don't come with eloquent words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. But then Colossians 1, 28 through 29, Paul says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So Paul would have made it clear that that's his goal, that's his ambition, that's his objective in life, is to proclaim Christ. So a body of believers, a church, is healthy when Jesus Christ is preached, when the word is preached. And we'll be looking at that from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. In his book entitled, Him We Proclaim, Dennis Johnson says this, It is possible to preach about Jesus and even mention grace in the process and yet be preaching law, calling people to reform themselves with a little help from their heavenly friend. Such a message breeds either self-deluded complacency or self-contemptuous despair. Preaching Christ as Paul preached Christ, however, is preaching grace as the sole source and rationale of salvation and transformation from start to finish. So when we preach Christ, we preach the grace of Christ that enables us, the same grace, we've talked about this before, the same grace that brings justification is the same grace that's going to bring sanctification. It's the same grace that brings glorification. We're not saved by grace and then sanctified through works. We're saved by grace, we're sanctified by grace, and we're glorified by grace. So when we preach Christ, we preach the grace of Christ to enable us to accomplish that. But there's a challenge that exists today for pastors, for preachers, for others who would proclaim Christ. And the challenge is that we are called to market or to manage the church growth, like entrepreneurs or as CEOs. And that oftentimes produces pragmatism in the pulpit. That pragmatism leads to the mindset that says, I have to fill the seats. So whatever fills the seats, whatever gets people in here, whatever makes sure that our church is growing, then let's just communicate that, because we don't want to actually proclaim the truth of God's word. We want to proclaim whatever it is that will allow them to come and be a part of our church. That allows then, or that leads then, the sermon to be ungrounded in its biblical interpretation. So we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Paul's address, his charge to Timothy is this, in verse 1, Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So here's Paul's address to Timothy. Again, some of the last words that Paul would have communicated, some of the last words that Paul would have expressed, and here's his expression to Timothy. Timothy, as a fellow pastor, as a fellow elder, Timothy, I want you to make sure that you preach the word. Be faithful in preaching and proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. If I'm remembering correctly, I think that's what's on the front here. Preach the word. What should come from this pulpit should not be things that will fill the seats, but will be the truth of Jesus Christ as communicated expressly from his word. And so as believers, we say, well, what makes a church healthy? It's not the number of people that attend. What makes a church healthy is not the number of ministries that they have, or the number of programs that they have, or the number of opportunities into the community that they have. What makes a church healthy, in part, is the fact that when someone stands behind the pulpit, or someone stands to proclaim the truth of God, whether that's in a Sunday school room, or a junior church room, or here in front of everyone else, is that we proclaim the only authoritative truth, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the words of Dave Dietz. It's not the words of anyone else. And so the objective that we have for a healthy church then is rooted in 2 Timothy 4:4 or 4:1 through 4, preaching the word. The idea that Paul mentions here, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, preach the word, verse 2 there, where he says, preach the word. The idea that is often communicated that people think about is this: one man standing back and preaching some message that he came up with. And in some regard, there's an element of that, that this is a message that I've put together. This is a message that has come as a result of sitting down and studying. But the idea that Paul is presenting to Timothy is not simply, Timothy, you come up with your own message, you come up with your own thoughts, you come up with your own ideas. But Timothy, you simply open the Word of God and faithfully proclaim this, the Word of God, because that is the only thing that's authoritative. Dave Dietz is not an authority. I do not have the authority to decree. I do not have the authority to say, thus says Dave. I have no position of authority, but God does. He's, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great God above all other kings, and he is the one who has declared. He is the one who has said, this is what is truth. And so we proclaim that as one who is heralding a message. So when we preach or when we proclaim Christ, we simply stand in front of you and say, this is what God has said. Not what Dave Dietz has said, not what anyone else has said. This is what God has said. And when Paul talks to Timothy about preaching the word, he instructs him to preach the entire counsel, the entire body of the revealed truth. Not just simply presenting book reviews or politics or economics or current topics of the day, but to preach the entirety of Scripture. It's all authoritative. It's all there for us. And so we come to this passage, and there is a lot of information in these four verses, and really the two that we'll tack in here in verses 16 and 17. These six verses, there is a ton of information here. Your outline this morning is packed with that. In fact, there's probably a lot of stuff that we'll share that's not in there, but we're going to move fairly quickly through this as Paul just lays out a philosophy of preaching, a philosophy of proclaiming the truth of Christ. And so he begins in verse 1, Timothy, I charge you. This is your command. This is your exhortation. This is your objective in life. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. Here's my charge to you. Preach the word. So first of all, in your outline, we see the responsibility of preaching the word. What is the responsibility? Where does this come from? As Paul is communicating here, he says this to Timothy, guess what? I'm charging you to do this. I'm telling you this is what you're supposed to do. In the presence of God and the presence of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. So as Paul is communicating to Timothy, he's placing in front of him this awe and this responsibility, the magnitude of this responsibility. Timothy, this is a big deal. You're preaching the word, and who is the witness of this command? The witness of this command is Jesus Christ, who gave us these words. It is Christ who is the witness of the command's bestowment, the command being given. Jesus Christ is the witness, but not only is he the witness, what else is Christ? Christ is the judge of how well you communicate his word. There's a lot of pastors and a lot of preachers that if you listen to them have no concept of the fact that they will someday give an account for all that they have proclaimed. The world goes on in existence of saying, oh, can you believe what this guy said? Can you believe what he did? Can you believe what he preached? Can you believe what he believes? And here is Paul telling Timothy in verse 1 of chapter 4, guess what? Christ is the judge. Dude, there is a big responsibility in being a proclaimer of Jesus Christ. This isn't just a matter of you coming up with your own thoughts, your own ideas, your own opinions, your own message. This is about saying, I want to be a communicator, a conduit, if you will, from God to man to say, here's what God is saying, not what I'm saying. Here's what God is communicating, not what I'm trying to communicate. And we look to him as our authority. And Paul tells Timothy, you know what? Not only is Christ the witness, but Christ is the judge. So Timothy, be careful in what you say. Be careful in how you preach. You're representing Jesus Christ. That same responsibility holds true for me. As I stand before you today, I stand before you in the witness and the sight of Christ as my judge and say, you know what? As far as I can be faithful to the text and as far as I can be faithful to his word, this is the word of Christ. Because Christ will hold me accountable for what is communicated. And there's a lot of pastors and a lot of churches that people may say, well, I can't believe they're getting by with this. Jesus Christ is a righteous judge, and he is the one who is a witness of the command and the bestowment upon this as we proclaim Christ. This is not something to be taken lightly. So when we stand and we preach and we proclaim Christ and we communicate Christ, we better make sure that what we're communicating is, in fact, the words of Christ. Then number two, the integrity of preaching the word. The responsibility there, it's before Christ, but then there's integrity. Verse 2, that phrase, preach the word. That's your imperative statement. Timothy, this is what you're supposed to do. This is your command. Preach the word. Communicate Christ. Proclaim Christ. Preach the word. But Paul says there, be ready in season and out of season. What's he talking about here? What's the idea that's being communicated? What Paul is talking about here is preaching the word when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Preaching the word when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. As a general rule, in this audience, in this room today, it's fairly convenient to preach the word. I do not stand up here in fear and trepidation that someone's going to stand up and balk at what I say. So there's a luxury of freedom of expression to say, I'm in a friendly crowd. It's convenient. It's okay. It's a good time to do this. But am I willing to go to some public venue or to some public place or in response in some public aspect and say, you know what, now I'm going to preach Christ even when it's not convenient for me, even when I don't feel like preaching Christ, even when I don't want to tell people about Jesus Christ, even when it's a hostile environment, I will still proclaim Christ. So Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you preach Christ. Be ready to preach him when it's convenient for you, when it's a friendly thing for you, when it's a good thing for you. And Timothy, be ready to preach Christ when it's not a convenient thing for you, when it's not a friendly thing for you, when it's not a situation that you feel comfortable in. Timothy, in all situations, you preach Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the sole authority and the giver of God's word to communicate to other people what he has for us. I've shared before and the time when I was working as a college student in a warehouse and had the opportunity to witness to a man by the name of Chad Polson. And for a couple of hours or about an hour or so in the back of a warehouse in the middle of in between Christmas and New Year's, witness to Chad Polson as he asked different questions. And I can remember the entire time thinking, I don't care. I don't want to talk to him about Christ. I'm not interested in talking to him. I'm going through some rough times in my own life. I don't want to deal with this. And the next morning, as we got off work, Chad was killed in a car accident. Dave, you didn't preach Christ when it was convenient and not convenient. Hey, don't bother me. I don't want to preach Christ right now. I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to talk to them about Christ. I don't want to share Christ. I don't want to preach Christ right now. Hey, the integrity of a preacher of Jesus Christ says, you know what? When it's convenient and when it's not convenient, I'm going to share Christ. That's what we should have. And then number three, the purpose of preaching Christ. What are we preaching Christ for? The purpose here. Going on in verse 2, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So what's our purpose in preaching? Why am I standing before you proclaiming the word of God today? Why are you here? I think Larry asked that question. Why are you here? Well, it's Sunday morning, and it's 10:30, and I don't know where else I would be. So I'm here. Okay? So what is the purpose for me being here? What is the purpose for what I am trying to accomplish here? As I'm faithfully proclaiming Christ, as we're faithfully proclaiming his word, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be using God's word to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So today, you should leave here saying, Was I reproved? Was I rebuked? Or was I exhorted? Hopefully not because Dave is mad or glad. Hopefully not because Dave's had a good week or a bad week. Hopefully because whatever is being preached from this pulpit and being preached from this church is to say, you know what, this is the Word of God, and the Word of God comes into our life, and the Word of God rebukes me. The Word of God reproves me. The Word of God exhorts me. And so the purpose of our preaching, the purpose of our proclamation is not just to take up 45 minutes. It's not just to sit there and say, well, what would we pay Dave for if he didn't come and talk to us for 45 minutes? The purpose of this time is to say, what does God have to say to us? What is God's message for us? And we allow the Word of God to rebuke us, to reprove us, and to exhort us. So what do these three things mean? First of all, the word is to be preached in order to reprove. Letter A, it means this: to get to the point of confessing one's guilt or sin. To reprove somebody is preaching the Word of Christ in order to allow them to get to the point where they confess their guilt of sin. The Word of God comes, and as it's communicated, it brings us to the point where we see, you know what? Wow, I am a sinner. I am doing something that is not right. I am getting to the point where I'm confessing the guilt of my sin. But then the Word of God also rebukes. Letter B, the word is to be preached in order to rebuke. What does that mean? It means to sharply rebuke sin. In other words, we sharply point it out. You know what? If you are doing this, this is a sin. This is wrong. This is contrary to the attributes and to the nature of who God is. And then letter C, the word is to be preached in order to exhort. What does that mean? The word exhort there means to plead or to beg or to urge. So the Word of God comes, and the Word of God is proclaimed, and the Word of God says, I'm going to reprove you, to bring you to the point where I'm confessing my guilt, I'm going to rebuke the sin that's in my life, and I'm going to urge and plead and beg with you to turn from that. So as the Word of God is preached, the Word of Christ is proclaimed, we should be looking at this to say, okay, what areas of my life need to change in order to become molded into the image of Jesus Christ? But if the only purpose for you being here today is to just simply sit and take up a time slot out of duty or habit, then the Word of God is probably never going to do much in your life because you're not going to allow it to do that. But as you come and you sit and you say, all right, God, I want to have a heart that is going to be receptive to your word. I want to have a heart that is going to be open to what you have for me. You have the authority. You have the position of power and supremacy in my life. Whatever you say, I will do. And God says this, and we say, you know what? Wow, I've been doing that. I've been doing wrong. I confess my guilt. My sin has been rebuked, and I've been urged by the grace of God to turn to Him. That's the power of the Word of God in our lives and in our heart. It was Calvin who said this: those who are strong only in fervor and sharpness, but are not fortified with solid doctrine, weary themselves in their vigorous efforts. They make a great noise, they rave, but make no headway because they build without a foundation. There's a lot of pastors and preachers who will make a lot of noise, but have no content. The content of the preaching of Jesus Christ is His Word. It's preaching Christ, not just having a lot of fluff, or not just having a lot of expression, or not just having a lot of emotion. Marvin Vincent said this: men will not be won to the truth by scolding. They should understand what they hear and learn to perceive why they are rebuked. So we use the Word of God as a communication to people that the Word of God goes forth and brings them to Him. Then number four, the necessity of preaching the Word. Why do we need people to proclaim the Word of Christ? Verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Why do we need the preaching of the Word of God? Well, we could talk about this to say when there is not preaching of the Word of God, when there is not communication of the Word of God, then what happens? People will wander off and people will go astray and people will follow after their own ways. So Paul mentions to Timothy here the necessity of preaching the Word of God. Verse 3 here, for the time is coming when people will not endure this sound teaching. Letter A there, the people will not always endure the preaching of God's Word. What does that word endure mean? That word endure means to continue to accept as valid or true. There is coming a time, Timothy, I would say that time has come, when people no longer look to the truth of God's Word and say, you know what, I accept that as valid or true. Try it. Go to work tomorrow and pull out your Bible, if you can. Not saying you can't, but just if that's legal, and that's okay. Pull out your Bible and say, do you accept this as valid and true? What do you think is going to happen? My guess is a lot of people, especially those who are not saved, are going to sit there and say, that's not valid or true. That's your thought. That's your opinion. That's your idea. That's one particular thought process that we have about what truth is. And so there is coming a time, Paul tells Timothy, when people will no longer endure. They will no longer continue to accept as valid or true that this is God's Word. This is authoritative in their life. Instead of doing that, what will they do? They will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So letter B there, people will seek out those who will itch their ears. What does that mean? It means tell them what they want to hear. That's what that means. Go find somebody who's going to tell me what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that I'm a bad person. I don't want to hear that I'm a sinner. I don't want to hear that there's a hell. I don't want to hear that there's judgment. I don't want to hear that there's consequences for living a life contrary to the Word of God. I don't want to hear that there's eternal separation and condemnation in hell because I rejected Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't want to hear that. So why don't you tell me what I want to hear? That's the whole point that Paul is making to Timothy. Timothy, there's going to come a time when they no longer accept God's Word as valid or true, and instead of accepting it as valid and true, they're going to go out and find somebody who's going to tell them what you want to hear. My dog Mocha, I love her to death, but she'll sit on the couch and I can go right here in her ear, and man, I rub her ear like that, she just almost like falls into my hand just because, oh my word, it's like the greatest experience of her life. That's how people are living their lives today. Hey, tell us what we want to hear. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about judgment. Don't talk about condemnation. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about anything bad. Just tell us how to have our best life now. Just tell us how to live a happy life, and everything's going to be okay. That's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to preach His Word and to preach it faithfully. And we say, you know what? It's not my message. This is God, the authoritative King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Supreme God, communicating this. And Paul says there, letter C, people will turn away from the truth. That means they will reject it. So they get to the point where they say it's not valid, it's not true. They get to the point where they find somebody who will itch their ears. They turn away from the truth. They reject the truth. And then Paul says they will wander into myths or legendary stories. If you talk to people nowadays, you'll hear, oh, I've heard the stories of the Bible. I've heard about that. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, there's these, almost like the Bible is a legendary fable or legendary story that has no value, merit, or worth. So Paul tells Timothy, this is why you preach the Word. This is why you communicate to people what God would have you to communicate to them. But he ties it all, I believe, the preceding two verses of chapter 3 is where it's hinged, the sufficiency of preaching the Word, verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So Paul brings us to the sufficiency of Scripture, verse 16 and 17, and he states here, all Scripture is breathed out by God. What does this indicate to us? First of all, letter A, all Scripture is authoritative. Scripture holds the authority in my life. Dave Dietz holds no authority in your life. If I come to you and say, you know what, I think you need to do this, I am not an authority. But if God comes and God says you need to do this, He is an authority. He has the right, He has the power, He has the position to be able to declare to us what it is that He wants us to do. So all Scripture is breathed out by God. Paul communicates to Timothy here, all Scripture comes from God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It is authoritative. So number one there, it is authoritative because it is from God. The very fact that God breathed out Scripture to holy men of God, 1 Peter, holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, God's Word is authoritative. And God's Word, number two, is authoritative because it is inspired by God. It comes from God. It originates from God. This is God speaking to us. In his book entitled Christ-Centered Preaching, Brian Chappell mentions this: without the authority of the Word, preaching becomes an endless search for topics, therapies, and techniques that will win approval, promote acceptance, advance a cause, or soothe worry. Human reason, social agendas, popular consensus, and personal moral convictions become the resources of preaching that lacks, quote, the historic conviction of what Scripture says, God says. Our preaching today in the world and in America has become exactly what Chappell's talking about. It's become preaching that is searching for topics and therapies and reasonings and ways that we can make people feel good about themselves again. It's motivational speaking. And what does Paul tell Timothy? Preach the Word. Why? Because the Word is authoritative. The Word is sufficient. Everything I need is found in Jesus Christ. And so we proclaim the words. Letter A, all Scripture is authoritative. But letter B, all Scripture is profitable. Paul communicates here in verse 17, in verse 16, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So it's profitable for teaching. What is that? That's instruction, telling us what to do, telling us how to do it. It's instruction, telling us what we may have done wrong. It's profitable for reproof, bringing conviction of my sin, bringing conviction of what I'm doing that's wrong. It's profitable, number three, for correction, to restore me back to what I should be doing. The Word of God is profitable for that. So I find myself in sin. The Word of God convicts me of that, but the Word of God is also profitable for me to bring me back in line with what God has for me. And then number four, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, to continue to train me to do what's right. Some of you have worked in jobs that are assembly jobs or jobs that require training, and maybe you've had the situation where you've been working in a job like that where you are training someone or someone has trained you, and they come and they say, you know what, you're doing it wrong. Here's the way you're supposed to do it based upon the manual that you have for this job. Here's the way you're supposed to do it. And so what do? Oh, I can't believe I did it. It was wrong. I did it the wrong way. I'm sorry I did it the wrong way. Now I'm correcting myself back to the standard of what I'm supposed to do, and now I continue to learn and be instructed in how I'm supposed to live. That's the profitability of the Word of God. How are Christians supposed to know how to live in a day and age in which we live? The sufficiency of the Word of God. We don't need an additional manual. We don't need an additional revelation. We don't need an additional text. We just simply need to go to the sufficiency of God's Word to say, you know what? All Scripture is given by God, and all Scripture is profitable for teaching us, for convicting us, for restoring us, and for training us. The reason why we have Christians in this world and Christians in America who are living their lives in utter chaos and utter inability to know how to function in our society today is because we have Christians who do not spend time in God's Word. The evidence of a lifetime of knowing God and spending time in His Word and understanding what His Word has to say will display itself in spiritual maturity that will enable us to be able to handle the societal issues that we face on a regular basis. You don't need a guru. You don't need to come and say, oh, Dave, you've got to help us. Dave, you have the words of life. Dave, you've got to preach a message on this. Dave, you've got to tell us what to do about this. It's not about Dave. It's about the Word of God. You have in your hand, if you have the Word of God, you have in your hand all that you need for the sufficiency of living a life that glorifies Christ. And we have a lot of Christians who have set that aside and said, we just don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle life. We don't know what to think about all these societal things. We don't know what to think about all these things that are happening. Then get back to the sufficiency of God's Word. And that's what Paul instructs Timothy and says, you know what, Timothy? You've got the Word. Preach the Word. It's sufficient. It allows you to instruct. It allows you to convict. It allows you to restore. It allows you to be trained. So the Word of God informs me of what is right. That information then leads to the conviction of the fact that what I'm doing is wrong. Once I'm convicted of what is wrong, the Word then helps me to restore me back to the right living, and then it continually trains me to live in what is right. That's the power of the authority of the Word of God. You don't need to come to Dave and say, Dave, do you think this is right or wrong, Dave? I don't. Let's go here to Scripture. What does God say? I'm not an authority. God is the authority. There's too many Christians, too many people who are solely reliant upon a guru or a pastor or some type of authority in a church to look to their source of wisdom and strength and ability to know what to do instead of looking to the sufficiency of Scriptures. So Paul says all Scripture is authoritative, all Scriptures is profitable, but then finally he concludes with this, all Scripture is effective. What's it effective for? As he says here, verse 17, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So what does that idea of competency mean? It means spiritual maturity. You are competent. You are capable. It's spiritual maturity that comes. The Bible is God's way of bringing you to spiritual maturity. If you're lacking in spiritual maturity, there's probably a good indication that you're lacking in your time with God and your time with God's Word. Because God's Word brings spiritual maturity. God's Word brings us to the point where we grow and we can be increased in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God. But then number two, it is effective to equip believers for the work of the ministry. The Word of God is effective to equip people for every good work. This is a powerful, powerful tool. The Word of God. Whether it be an iPad or whatever binding you have, the Bible is a powerful tool. When we look at our world and we say, I don't know what to do, it's sufficient. When we raise our children, we're in the midst of that. I don't always know what to do. I mean, I know what I want to do, but I know that's not right. But I go back here to the Word up on our wall above our, right by our living, dining room where we eat is Romans 12. Kimberly printed out like 20 sheets, Romans 12, the whole thing up there. So we're trying to help our kids, the big one we focus on, live peaceably with all men, including your sister and your brother. That's what we're trying to do. What I want to do is not always that. My response would not be peaceable all the time. But what do I do? How do I raise my kids today? Man, we're dealing with some stuff that's messed up. You know what? This is eternal. God's Word is eternal. And so if God tarries for another 1,000 years, this Word is still going to be sufficient. Because God is always sufficient. And so what do? We preach the Word. We teach the Word. We communicate the Word. It's all about the Word. It's all about Christ. That's what we proclaim. That's what we preach. That's what we teach. Not my own thoughts, not my own ideas, not therapies, not book reviews. We teach and we preach God. I see the parallel here to John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And now you bring that, the Word there in John 1 and 2, when it says Word, in the beginning was the Word, it's the word Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. He was in the beginning with God. And now you come into 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, and Paul says, preach the word, and the word he uses there is Logos. So Paul connects John 1, 1 and 2, and 2 Timothy 4, 2. Timothy, what are you supposed to preach? Christ. You preach Christ. You preach him until I come back. You preach him till Christ comes back. Timothy, you preach Christ until the day you go home to be with him. Timothy, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, you preach Christ. Timothy, you preach Christ because it's capable. Christ is capable through his word and through his sufficiency to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort. Because there's coming a time, Timothy, when people aren't going to think that it's valid or true, or there's going to come a time when they don't want to hear it anymore. But Timothy, even when that time comes, you still continue to preach the word, Timothy. And if no one shows up to hear you, you still preach the word, Timothy, because God's word is sufficient no matter who's listening to us. And so we continue to preach the word. Believer, what should you do at work tomorrow? Preach Christ. Not saying you have to get a sandwich board and stand out front of your office building and with a bullhorn talk to people, but you preach Christ. You share Christ. That's what we've been called to do. As Christ is the witness and Christ is the judge, we will proclaim Jesus Christ until he returns. This pulpit, I pray and I trust, will only ever be used to preach Jesus Christ. May we have believers who are committed to saying when it's convenient and not convenient, if no one comes or they all come, we're going to preach Christ. Preaching Christ is faithfully proclaiming the word, the Bible, verse by verse, in context, with grace, with passion, and with conviction. Preaching Christ is faithfully proclaiming the word, the Bible, verse by verse, in context, with grace, with passion, and conviction. A church body is healthy when Christ is preached. May we be a healthy church. May we preach Christ until he returns or he calls us home. May he be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you and to worship you. Father, this morning as we've looked at this passage of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and as well 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, the sufficiency of your word. Father, I pray that we would be faithful to preach Christ. Father, we know that we are facing days in which that comes with consequences. Even as we learned on Thursday, at least if the reports are true, are you a Christian? Yes. And their life was snuffed out. Father, give us boldness. Father, give us courage, give us integrity to preach Christ no matter what, when it's convenient or not convenient, because you alone are authoritative and you alone are worthy of all of our praise and all of our glory and honor. Father, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity to preach Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your name. Amen.